Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord bless each one of us and help us to get to heaven. We wrote on the board, prepare the way. Now, I want to start in Luke 3:3. You know, the Lord is real interested in us making it to heaven too, isn't he? It says here, speaking of John the Baptist, listen to what these words say this morning. It says, and he came, this is John the Baptist, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. You know, we have something to do with the Lord coming into our life. Did you know that? We have a lot to do with whether God enters into our soul, because he wants to. And he's made a way. And he wants to visit all of us. And Isaiah said this. If you look over in Isaiah, maybe I'll read that and then come back to this place. Isaiah 40:3. Listen to what he said here that was just quoted by John the Baptist. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, speaking of John the Baptist, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Did you know that there is some preparing the Lord wants us to do for him to come into our life? There is some preparing that God is looking for. And listen to what he says here. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I know this is probably speaking to the whole children of Israel as well. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, we know what a highway is because America is an amazing place, isn't it? There's highways almost everywhere, it seems. There's highways you can just jump on and go. You don't have to worry very often about water covering the road. You don't have to worry about things getting out of control as far as the road is concerned, because they're well maintained and they're wide, and they've taken care of so many things. It says here, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. You know, that's speaking of something. That's speaking of the places that you would find when you make a highway. It goes everywhere, doesn't it? It goes through the mountains. It goes through the deserts. In the deserts, you have to raise it up. In the mountains, you have to fill in some valleys. You have to bring some mountains down and chisel through them, don't you? To get ready for the highway so the people can come driving through there. Well, in the olden days, the monarchs, or the armies as well, whenever they entered upon an expedition or took a journey through a desert country, sent harbingers before them to prepare all things for their passage, and pioneers to open the passes, to level the ways, and to remove all impediments. You know, some of the kings, queens, and monarchs of time past have spent untold amounts of money because when they went to a place, they wanted to be able to travel unimpeded. They didn't want to travel the ways of of the rough land where they could only go at a snail's pace and all those things. They wanted their place to be a highway. A way that's high, a way that's lifted up above the surrounding area, and a place where they could move and make progress. You know, the Lord wants to come into our lives, and He wants us to prepare. He wants us to prepare a place for Him to be able to come in unimpeded. Because if the Lord comes into our life and we've got all these obstacles, how is He ever going to make His way? How is He ever going to get through that? And so He tells us, and he that was the first thing that came along, wasn't it? Here was John the Baptist, just before Jesus, preaching the baptism of repentance. Repent. Turn around from what you're doing. He said, make the low places, fill them up. I want to finish reading over here in Isaiah. And it says, every valley, we read that, shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And so this morning, I just want us to consider making the path, whether we're saved or whether we're not. If we're not saved, I want to tell you something. Prepare your heart for the Lord. There's some things we need to do to get ready for God coming into our life. Now, I know that we can just get saved if the Lord deals with us. We can get saved right then, can't we? And the Lord will take care of all those things. But I want to tell you something. If you really want to live for God, there's ways that can really invite Him in. If any man will sup with me, he said, I knock. Let's see, that's Revelation 20, 3 and 20, I believe. But he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And so Jesus is knocking at our door. You know, if we're saved, Jesus is still wanting entrance into our life daily. I remember Brother Lonnie just left here, but I'm going to tell a little story on him anyway. I remember when he was 16, I believe it was, years old, and he went to Monarch. You know what he took with him? Clothes to be baptized in, because he planned on getting saved. You know, that was a long time ago. And he's been saved all these years. You know, there's something special about when we decide in our heart, I'm going to find God and I'm going to live for the Lord. And I'm going to give Him my life. And I want Him to come in. That's more than a spontaneous something. And there's nothing wrong with spontaneous somethings. When the Lord deals with us and we respond to Him, that's wonderful. But I want to tell you what the Lord really wants. He really wants us to look to our lives and prepare ourselves for His words and for His doings in our life. And I want to look a little more at what this means here. In Luke 3 again. And we'll start on from verse 5 where we read about every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The things that would exalt themselves against God in our life, whether it's our own mind, whether it's our, whatever it is that would say, God, because of this, it's too much. We can't get over this thing. Bring it down then. Give it to God. Well, this valley here, it's too low, it's too, there's too many things I'm still ashamed of. Bring it up. You know what? God wants to give us that, doesn't He? I know there's a lot of things that He has to do Himself after we're saved. But I want to encourage us today to do the groundwork. Make a way. John the Baptist told the people, there's one coming behind me whose shoe latch it. I'm not worthy to unlatch. I'm not even worthy. But he says, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare. And he goes on to say in verse 6, Luke 3 and 6, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now, you know, I'm guessing he was speaking a lot here to some leaders and Pharisees and people like that. And he said, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Don't you know what's coming? Get ready for the Lord. And so he says, verse 8, "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance." I wrote on the board, "Prepare the way." And John the Baptist told these people, he said, you bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Now, what's he mean by that? "And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." Whatever we have to boast about, or whatever our name is, or whatever truth we know, or any of those things, folks, we don't have much to set by. But we have one thing we need, and that's the Lord. And I want to encourage us all. I'm not just talking to people unsaved this morning. Folks, we need to prepare the way of the Lord. Lord, I want you to walk in my life. I want you to work in my life. I want you to call me. I want a calling. I want you to fulfill my life in a way that it's never been fulfilled. We'll prepare the way of the Lord. Is there any impediments to it? Get them out of the way. Is there anything the Lord's talked to us about in times past? Get it out of the way. Is there anything we know we should be doing? Do it. You know, I know that this sounds like a works message, but I want to say this. There's some works involved with salvation. We are saved by faith alone. But I want to tell you something. You want the Lord to come into your life, you better bring forth some works, some fruits that's worthy of a repented of and a saved life this morning. And so John the Baptist went on to say, okay, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Don't bring any excuses with you. Just come to the Lord like we are. And he says, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Hasn't anybody warned you of the things to come? Don't we know that we better live for the Lord like he asks us to? Or the axe will be laid to our root as well, and it'll be cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? What do you mean, John? Okay, you're preaching all of the... We don't know what to do. Tell us, what do you mean? Well, this is what John the Baptist said. He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. What has that got to do with salvation? What has that got to do with preparing the way for the Lord in our life? You got two coats, share it with someone else. I want to read this in a few minutes, but what were the two commandments that the Lord said? Upon these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Everything God ever tried to say to people, it's contained in these two things. Do we remember? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength and everything we have, our whole life centered around God. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know that that's part of the commandments? Do you know that John said, this is what you need to do to get ready for the Lord? You need to do this. We need to get interested in more than ourselves. We need to get interested in more than what we're thinking. We need to get interested in doing all the will of God and being completely enveloped in God's thoughts. We need to be interested in what responsibilities we have to others. And listen to what he goes on and says. Then came also publicans to be baptized. Now, who were the publicans? They were the tax collectors. And they were hated for a good reason. Listen to what John tells them. He knew what they were like. And he says, then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Don't take any more than the government told you to take. Do it like you're supposed to do it. Be honest with people. You know what? I find a lawyer told me one time, he kicked back in his chair and he said, well, I've found that people lie and cheat and steal. That's what he told me. You know what I found? People lie and cheat and steal. That's what I found. It's in their hearts. And John the Baptist says, be honest with people. Just be honest with people. Don't get any more than yours says. Don't even try. Give them an honest shake. And he said, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man. Don't hurt anybody. Neither accuse any falsely. You've got you've got your uniform on. You can falsely accuse people. You can throw them in jail. And they can't do anything about it. Be honest with people. Don't throw them in jail. Don't accuse them falsely because of whatever reason you would, money or friendship or buddying up to somebody else or whatever. Don't do that. He says, this is pretty easy stuff, isn't it? It's easy to say. And we all know it's the truth. But folks, I found it's not always as easy to do. And so he says, and what shall we do? Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. What's that got to do with preparing your heart for the Lord? Be content with your wages? This is something major? You mean you're saying, what do we need to do? And instead of this great oration, he says, be content with your wages. What a thing. You know what? Our attitudes have a lot to do with what God is able to do in our lives. Has a lot to do with it. And so he said, be content. Be content. Well, you think I'm content? I got a lot to complain about. No, we don't. We don't have a lot to complain about. The Lord says, be content. Paul said, I have found, in whatsoever state I am, I have learned, he said, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I've learned something, to be content. Do you know the Lord doesn't want us to come to Him complaining at Him? We can tell Him all our thoughts and all our burdens, but let's don't ever come to Him with an ugly attitude. Folks, we all have life. We have food. We have a warm place to sleep. I'll guarantee you every one of us here do. And if you don't, we can see that you do. That's the truth. Be content with your wages. You know, I think what John told them was, live honestly without murmuring and complaining. Don't hurt anyone. Start where you are. Straighten your life up. We are getting ready for the great God of heaven to come down into our hearts and lives. And then we can have a clear conscience. John was a very plain-spoken man. You know what he said to Herod, the king? He didn't cut him any slack either, did he? He said, it's not right for you to have your brother Philip's wife. You stole his wife. Give her back. That's not right. He lost his head over that statement, didn't he? Well, this morning, we probably don't have quite as much to do as that. But folks, we have some things. I just want to encourage us this morning. The great God of heaven wants to stroll through the streets of our life. He wants to be to us everything he promised to be to people. And I believe that. He wants to be that in our lives. And I want to encourage us this morning to not discount what God wants to do and what he wants to be in our lives. It's not rocket science. It's just real basic. It's really common sense, isn't it? It's our own minds. It's the devil. It's the spirit of the world that wants to complicate it. The Lord wants to make it real simple and easy. First, just live for me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength and everything you do in life to be centered around that. And then be concerned about those around you and help them. Prepare your way for the Lord. I want to read another place here. Very interesting story we all know so well. Luke 19. We mentioned this not long ago. But I want to read it again. 19 and 1. I'll just read it. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. The problem with Zacchaeus was he didn't have a clear conscience. But he wanted to see the Lord, and he had some desires toward God. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. You know what I've found? When we want the Lord finds us, doesn't he? When we want the Lord's wanting us too. He's looking out for us. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. You know what? Jesus knew he did that. He knew he climbed up in that tree. Jesus knew. He probably knew before he got there what was going on. And could not, let's see, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, get down here, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Zacchaeus, I've heard your desire. You didn't mouth it, but I heard it. I saw you climb the tree. Or I know you're up there. I know you're there. I know where you're at, Zacchaeus. Come down. I'm going to your house today. I must abide at thy house today. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Jesus, don't you know who this man is? Don't you know how creepy he is? He's stolen from us. You know he's rich, and you know he got it from the poor. You know he got it from us, and you're going with him? Oh, Jesus is coming to look for anybody that's looking for him. In fact, he's looking for us before we look for him. And Zacchaeus stood, listen to this, this is what is so telling. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, now who told him to do this? The half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. The Lord didn't say this to Zacchaeus, did he? But Zacchaeus wanted God. And he brought forth fruits worthy of repentance. Lord, I'll make restitution. You mean we have to make restitution? What do you mean we have to make restitution? You mean we can make restitution? Thank the Lord, yes, we can. We can get our conscience cleared up. You mean I have to give back? Oh, yes, we can. We can get our conscience cleared. We can do that. Thank the Lord this morning. There are some good things we can do. And you know what? He did this before he was saved. He made this commitment to God before he even got saved. Lord, I'm going to straighten it up. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Well, I thought the sons of Abraham was the sons of faith. I thought Abraham was the father of faith. Oh, he is, isn't he? And Abraham had some things. He obeyed the Lord, didn't he? And here was this man following after the ways of Abraham. Lord, if that's what you require, that's what I shall do. And so he didn't wait to ask the Lord. He just openly, Lord, this is what I'll do. I'll do what I got to do. He knew in his heart some way that God was requiring some things of him, didn't he? I want to tell you this morning, God wants to fill our lives. He wants the King to come in. And he wants him to walk in our life. And he wants him to work in our life. And maybe we're standing back with whatever it is that we're holding the Lord off with, our stubbornness or our own ways, our own loves, our own things. And we can't get our conscience cleaned up because of it. Folks, throw our hands down and throw them up in surrender. Yes, Lord. Whatever you come, whatever you want, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Send me. You know how different that is. You remember the two men that went up into the temple to pray? And they both went up to meet God there. And this is Luke 18 and 10 to 14 is what I want to read. And it says, now let's remember that Zacchaeus came before the Lord. He wasn't boasting and saying, Lord, I want you to look at me. I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. Zacchaeus was humbled. Lord, all my greed. Lord, all my past life, I'm going to give it up to you. But there was two men that went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood, and here was Jesus' little saying, again, using publican. Why do publicans keep coming up? Because they were the scorn of the earth. Those guys that come around taking from us, unlawfully so. And Jesus says, there went up two men into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus, with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, the Lord is wanting us to prepare our hearts in humility. Lord, be merciful to me. You know, that don't ever stop. We don't have to say we're a sinner after the Lord saves us. But we can say, Lord, I am a measly human. I have no strength, sometimes no wisdom. Sometimes I don't know what to do, but Lord, I need your help. And it says that this man went down to his house justified. It means God saw him. He heard his prayer. And he answered his prayer. And the Lord forgave him, didn't he? Oh, the Lord wants this morning for you and me to be right with God. And so he's looking for people that will humble themselves and give themselves to the Lord. We read this, what was it, Wednesday? The other night in Matthew 7, 24. You know, Jesus spoke to these people and he said, this starts in 22, many will say, I'll start in 21, I'm sorry. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. This is Jesus' teaching. Folks, Jesus taught that we have to do the will of God. And he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know what? When we work sin in our life, folks, the Lord is not there. He's wanting us to depart from iniquity. He's wanting us to live a life where the King can come in and that he can be glorified in our life. And he says, and therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So when we hear the sayings of the Lord, and the Lord tells us to hear them, doesn't he? And when we hear them, he says, and we do them, that's like a man that built his house on a solid foundation. He went down to the rock and he put his house, he put his bearings down on that. We bought a house one time and it was sagging off. And I want to tell you, we paid a company to come in and they drove these 3-inch pipes down. They lifted up under the foundation and they put this enormous pressure against that pipe and it went down and down and down, 27 feet or so. And you know what? When it hit rock, you know what happened? The house went up. That's what happened. And everywhere they put those things, the house went back up where it was supposed to be. And so those that hear the sayings of the Lord and doeth them, it's like that. That built our house on the rock. And our house doesn't have to sag and go away. Our house doesn't have to fall down. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I know we talked about these not long ago, but this morning I just want to encourage us. Folks, we want the Lord, don't we? Let's make a path for the Lord to be in our life this morning. You know, the scriptures tell us, and you can find this in Luke 6 and 37, but one of the places, one of the several places, but it says here, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Do you know what that is telling us? Another place, did not Jesus say that if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive yours? Did you know you have to forgive people their trespasses against you? Do you know that that's part of preparing yourself for the Lord? I know it takes God to do some of those things. And some of those things we just have to say, Lord, I will. Lord, if you'll forgive me, I will do it from my heart. I know this works hand in glove. This is not, we can't do everything in our own strength. It takes God. But I want to tell you, the King wants to enter in to our lives. And so he says, wasn't it Peter that asked him one time, Lord, how often do I have to forgive my brother if he sins against me? What did he tell him? How often? I forgave him yesterday several times. Do I really have to keep forgiving him? And what did Jesus say? Children? Till 7 times 70. How many times is that? That's 490 times. It's a lot of times. You just have to have a forgiving heart. If we want the Lord to forgive us that has offended the great God of heaven, shall we not forgive those that offend us? In Psalm 24 and 3, I've been alluding to this without reading it, but listen to what the Lord says here. I really enjoy this chapter. And also 15 says some of the same things. It says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? And he answers it, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. You know, there's a special blessing from the Lord in doing his will this morning. Listen to what it says then. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. You know what? The King wants to come in. And he says to us, make the path straight. That's crooked, straighten it up. That's low, fill it in. Those things that are high, bring them down. Now folks, as we've said already, I know the Lord has to help us with these things. And it works as we get saved. God has to work in our life. But I want to tell you, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths this morning. We want to hear the voice of the Lord. All of us do. I want to tell you something. Make straight the paths of the Lord. Be humble. Be godly. Forgive. Have a heart full of forgiveness. Have a heart that's ever looking to help others in their needs. You know, we can have a heart that is ever looking for our own needs, or we can have a heart that's ever looking for others. And I think if we do it right and we keep in God's will, we take care of our needs too. The Lord will make sure of that. Oh, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This morning, I just want to encourage us today. The Lord loves to walk in people's lives. I've found it so. Not only in my life, I have watched others as they sought the Lord. I have watched the King of glory come in. I remember sitting or standing right over here in these seats, about four back or so. I remember a revival meeting we had, and the minister talked about the glory of God. And I've heard Brother Dan say this from the pulpit before, I believe, so I'm going to say it too again. He told me after that message, he said, I'm going for the glory. And you know what? He had been saved a long time. But I'll tell you, he wanted something more from the King of Heaven in his heart and life. And he began to search after God. And you know what? He said the Lord told him, you got way too much on hand. He sent him down to Louisiana. I'm telling you things I've heard him say publicly, so I suppose it's all right. He sent him down to Louisiana to make some things right. He thought he was right when he did them. But he sent him back, and I wasn't right. You know what? And he said all the way home, his heart was filled with joy. The King came in. The King began to reign in a whole different way. I just want to encourage us today, folks. The sky's not the limit, the universe is. The Lord wants to enter our lives. He wants to be everything in our life. He wants to fill our lives up. I know that we have our battles and we have our trials, and I do too. And sometimes we have accusations, and sometimes the devil throws things at us, and sometimes he tries to make everything go wrong. But I want to tell you something. It's wonderful to have the King of Glory in our lives. Oh, the Lord bless everyone. Whether we're wanting to get saved or whether we are just wanting more of the King in our life. Prepare the way of the Lord. You pray for me.